Let's read together Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. In fact, let's start with verse 1. Now, in these verses, we have the beginning of the Lord's second answer to Habakkuk's question about evil. And in the Lord's answer, we have one of the most well-known verses of the Bible, namely Habakkuk 2, verse 4, "The just shall live by faith." Habakkuk 2, beginning at verse 1. "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.'" Let's begin with some background notes. Did you ever get an answer from the Lord that you didn't expect and that you didn't like? You didn't like the answer? Well, I know that's happened to me a number of times, both in reference to ministry and in reference to doctrine. Well, that certainly happened to Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet who lived in Judah in the 7th century BC. As he looked around him, he saw iniquity and violence on every hand. The wicked were prospering and getting away with their sin, while the righteous were suffering and being taken advantage of. Where was God? Why didn't he do something? Habakkuk cried out to the Lord for an answer, and God did answer him. But it was an answer that Habakkuk didn't expect and he didn't appreciate. God told Habakkuk that he was going to do something about the iniquity and violence there in Judah. God told him that he was raising up the pagan Chaldeans or Babylonians to invade the land and punish the people of Judah for their evil ways. Already Babylon was on the move. They had overthrown Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, in 612 BC. They would soon defeat Egypt at the Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC, and it wouldn't be long before they were at the gates of Jerusalem. Well, Habakkuk was thrown for a loop by this answer. He did not expect an answer like this. I mean, how could God allow the pagan Babylonians, a nation even more wicked than Judah, to come in and punish God's people? You know, that would be like God telling us that he was raising up a godless communist nation to invade our country in order to punish the sins of America. So this is Habakkuk's second question, and at the beginning of chapter 2, he waits for God's answer. Verse 1, again, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected." Habakkuk had the right attitude. He was not criticizing God or doubting God or telling God he was wrong. No, it's just that he didn't understand. He needed answers. Habakkuk was sensitive to sin and to evil, and rightly so. So Habakkuk went to his watchtower, figuratively speaking, to wait for God's answer. Watch and wait on God is good advice for all of us when we need answers, especially answers for the hard questions. Everybody follow what we're saying here? I mean, this is background, but good practical application even here. So this is essentially what the psalmist Asaph did when he had the same questions concerning the existence of evil and the prosperity of the wicked. Well, listen to what Asaph says in Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17. "When I thought how to understand this," namely this whole question and problem of evil, "when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end," namely the end of the wicked. The watchtower and sanctuary are where we go when we need answers. We wait on God. We don't demand of God. We wait for his answers. Well, so much for our background. Now we want to move to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number one: evil is scheduled for termination. Evil is scheduled for termination. In verses 2 through 4, we have the beginning of God's answer to Habakkuk's second question. Now, because it is an answer that has to do with the question of the existence of evil, it's a theodicy. In fact, the whole book of Habakkuk is a theodicy. That is, a vindication of God in light of and in spite of the suffering and evil that exists in the world. Habakkuk was to write or engrave God's answer on clay tablets and publicize it, as we see in verse 2. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Maybe Habakkuk set up the tablets in a public square in Jerusalem so that all could read the answer. God wanted his word publicized, and he wanted those who read it to run with it. The end of verse 2, that he may run who reads it. What a lesson for all of us. God wants us to read his word, including prophecy, like this prophetic book of Habakkuk, and run with it. Read and run. We need to practice the R&R of Habakkuk, not rest and relaxation, but read and run, right? Read and run does not mean have your devotions on the run, but to read the word and then run with the message and share it with others. And I hope you'll do that with what you're learning from the book of Habakkuk. In verse 3, we see our first doctrinal point. Evil is scheduled for termination. Verse 3 again. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now in the rest of chapter 2, it is revealed to Habakkuk that Babylon would eventually be judged for her evil ways. Although God was allowing pagan Babylon to invade Judah in order to punish and correct and discipline his people, Babylon would not get away with her wickedness. Babylon's evil would be terminated. In fact, all evil would be terminated. Look at verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, for the earth to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, all evil must come to an end. So the end mentioned in verse 3 is not just the end of Babylon's evil, but the termination of all evil. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. And it will be right on God's time schedule. That's the point of verse 3. The Lord tells Habakkuk that the revelation or vision that he is giving him about the termination of evil will come to pass. Make no mistake about it. And the termination will be right on schedule, God's schedule. It may seem delayed from Habakkuk's viewpoint and from ours as well, but wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. God's train is never late. God's schedule is always right on. Evil will not exist forever. Evil is scheduled for termination. Doctrinal point number 2, evil is scheduled for judgment. Evil is scheduled for judgment. Not only will all evil end, all evil will be judged. Verse 14 again, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You can't have the earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea if you still have unjudged evil. Now, verse 3 is quoted in the book of Hebrews. And when it's quoted there, the it is changed to he. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. In other words, it's when the Lord comes back that evil is terminated and judged. So again, the end mentioned in verse 3, here in Habakkuk chapter 2, is not just the end of Babylon. It's the end of times, when all evil will have run its course and have been judged, and when the Lord's glorious kingdom on earth will merge into the new heavens and the new earth of God's eternal future. It's a wonderful prophecy that we have here. You know, we have the same thought in the vision of Zechariah 5, one of the visions of Zechariah 5. In that vision, two angels are seen carrying a woman in a large basket. I'm reading Zechariah chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket. Then he said, "This is wickedness." And he thrust her down into the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. And then the angels carry the woman in the basket to the land of Shinar, or Babylon, Look down at Zechariah 5, verses 10 and 11. So I said to the angel who talked with me, where are they carrying the basket? And he said to me, to build a house for it in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base. The meaning of that vision is that wickedness will have run its full course and will be judged. Exactly what is taught here in Habakkuk chapter 2. Evil is scheduled for judgment. In Revelation 17 and 18, we read of the destruction and judgment of the Babylon of the end times. I don't think there's any doubt that Habakkuk's prophecy here concerning the judgment of Babylon includes more than just the Babylon that was coming to power in Habakkuk's day. It carries on to the end when all evil will be judged and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Evil is scheduled for judgment. What about practical application from this first section of Habakkuk 2? Let's live by faith in the midst of evil. Let's live by faith in the midst of evil. Our practical application comes from one of the most familiar verses in the Bible, Habakkuk 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. It's quoted three times in the New Testament, and in each case, one of the key words is emphasized in the context. In Romans 1:17, it is the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews 10:38, it is the just shall live by faith. And in Galatians 3:11, it is the just shall live by faith. This verse has been called the watchword or motto of Christianity. This is the verse, as quoted by Paul in Romans, that God used to open the spiritual eyes of Martin Luther to see that a person is justified before God by faith alone. That's Habakkuk 2:4, quoted by Paul in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. In the context of Habakkuk 2, this verse has a very practical application for all of us. Let's live by faith in the midst of evil. That's really the point of the verse in the context. As iniquity and violence and evil of every sort surrounded Habakkuk, so we are surrounded by evil. Or haven't you noticed? The proud and wicked prosper, and the humble and righteous suffer. It's not right, and the situation will be corrected. It's only a matter of time. All evil will ultimately be terminated and judged. I can't wait. Can you? I can't wait for evil to be terminated and eliminated, and, verse 14 again, the earth to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. But in the meantime, and this is the main point here, in the meantime, the just shall live by faith. It's not always easy, especially as iniquity and violence increase and we become more desensitized to sin. Not easy to live by faith. We see all this unjudged evil around and we wonder what's going on, where's God, why doesn't he do something about it? What's Habakkuk teaching us? He will do something about it. All evil will be terminated and judged. But in the meantime, the just shall live by faith. This is what we're called to do. Let's live by faith in the midst of evil.